This is WLTI on Spectrum One, brought to you today by the letters V, B, and W. V for Villanova, V for Victory, B for Blue, and W for White. And now, Chico Alexander.
You can't see this, Jim, but right now I'm giving you an appendage that is usually reserved for Gordon Pepper.
Why would you give him your index finger?
Jim, what is the mascot of Villanova? They're the Wildcats, correct?
Wildcat.
They are the Wildcats.
Chico is adding a flock of seagulls right now to your mascot. Let's put it that way.
I ran so far. Oh, we can't do that. That's illegal. No.
Well, we could do like 10 seconds, 11 seconds, and we got to pay for it.
All right. Well, I'm done. I'm done with that. But seriously, condolences, commiserations, I should say, to you, Chico, as we begin this edition of the world's most powerful game show and reality show podcast.
By the way, just to let you know, Jim Williams and Jason Block.
Yes.
Chico left the bar, and North Carolina was trailing by double digits.
Uh-huh.
And I did play-by-play with Chico up until the end, including the last shot.
Yeah.
I owe to be a fly in that conversation.
Let's just say, Gordon Pepper, you have a career. Marcus Page has, but you have a career.
Well,
I have a career of Chris Jenkins, you mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. By the way, hey, Chico, why didn't Roy Williams play defense on that last shot?
I have no earthly idea. Okay.
But never mind
I'm
that. Let's
write,
let's
I'm
let's
to wrap.
Let's. Okay, Chico, it's okay, because your friend of mine is now getting ready to go to Augusta National. Hello, friends.
Ah, yes.
I think we are all having a little bit too much of the April Fools.
But yes.
We'll be talking about the April Fools. We'll be talking about Survivor, where a castmate attempted a gigantic April Fools over everybody else.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about Snatch Game.
Woohoo!
That and a whole lot more, as from somewhere in Chico's crying basement, where he is now throwing a dartboard at Jay Wright, this episode of WLTI is on.
A podcast unlike any other.
Hello, everybody. Hold on. I think I can get myself together here. I'm Chico Alexander. With me, as always, is Gordon Pepper, my partner in crime on the world's strongest game show podcast. And
hi.
And our director, keeping us in line, director, motivational coach, and strength and conditioning coach of the world's strongest game show podcast. He's a good boy. He's a good boy, Jason Block.
Yes. And, the April Fool, that April Fool was a dagger into Chico's heart. But let's talk about people who are...
Hold on. There is one more. We have to mention the man of 1,000 voices, all of them sounding like Jim Nance. The voice of the Cumberland County Dukes, the pride of Millville, New Jersey... James Riley Williams, how you doing?
Oh, you dropped my middle name, you
son of a gun. Wow, nice.
Drop my middle name. Hello, friends.
Yes.
No, but remember, it could always be worse, Chico. It could have been Duke.
Oh, God! Oh, by the way, how far...
North Carolina are doing the exact same thing right now, which is playing golf.
Actually, so is Jay Writing Company, but this isn't a sports podcast.
No, that's another podcast.
Krasuski, get it right, Krasuski.
Mike the Ferret is getting a hip replaced, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, seriously, get well soon. That's not a good idea.
But Spectrum One cares.
Right.
But you know what? We need to talk about people who aren't fools, but are smart. Right, there's, Chico?
Yes. But first, here's Gordon Pepper with 15 seconds of American Idol. Bow, bow, bow,
hey.
Bow.
Is LaPortia still in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, she's winning. We're done here.
Don't forget, this was her acceptance speech. This has that was Gordon Pepper with 15 seconds of American Idol. Darryl. Until next time, remember, support local and independent music.
Seacrest yeah. out.
Yes. Yeah, but all joking aside, she's in the final. She's in the final two. She's winning. Moving on!
Moving on!
Right. Yep.
Let's talk about somebody who's incredibly smart. A man by the name of Todd Giese. A hotel front desk manager. A third shift hotel front desk manager out of NOLA. Out of Nolens. Out of Carl Chenier Town. New Orleans, Louisiana, four-day champion on Jeopardy, and he did more in 4 days than most people do in five.
As a matter of fact, if you look on Jeopardy's awesome little tournament tracker, he is only one of three people so far this season to win four games or more.
Yep.
The other two being Fred Vaughn and Tim Kutz. Okay. And right. he has, well, why don't you talk about him? I'll talk about his money later.
All right. Now, he's won four games. He's playing his fifth on Monday's show against Kirsten Nordstrom, who's good people, and Udit Banerjee, who's also good people. Udit just owns the board for the most part. I mean, he ends up with 17,800 to Kirsten's 10,600. Todd has 10,000. It's basically a battle for second place at this point. Because if you think about it, the final Jeopardy was an easy get, if you think about it. Can I deliver the clue?
Go for it.
All right, the category is British novels. Not named Harry Potter, so do not ask. All right, the clue. Local legend says that Top Withens, the Yorkshire farmhouse seen here... There's a picture of it.
And there was a picture, yep.
May have been an inspiration for this novel.
A very easy get if you know there are very few British novels about houses.
Yes.
And the answer is, what is Wuthering Heights?
Gordon Rebuttal.
I had, what is Doctor Who and the Visitation?
Darn it,
I had What is Fawlty Towers, but that's just me.
That's a good one too.
Jim, you get 500 points, which do not matter. Anyway.
Yes, that's right. The points are kind of like, no, I'm not going to go there.
Anyway, yeah, everybody, this was an easy get. Udit got it right. He ends up with 25,300, betting just enough to lock out second place Kirsten. With 10,600, so this is a man who knew what he was doing, you know, give or take $99. But anywho,
unfortunately, what happens when you have a giant killer?
He gets killed.
He gets killed. But I watched to talk about Tim. He is one of those people who could do damage later on in the tournament down the road. He yeah. could. I said could.
Okay. I didn't think he was good as you guys thought he was, apparently. I thought he was okay. He's not a bad contestant, but he didn't seem to me like he was dominating or as overpowering as you guys thought he was. I think he did. He took advantage of the questions on the clue board, and I think that as a good Jeopardy champion you can do, but I wouldn't put him as a favorite. Sorry.
But you also have to keep in mind, Gordon, look at the field for this season. It has not been a glamorous season of big name, big win people on Jeopardy. So it's more of an open field than in any recent year I can think of.
Yeah.
I think what makes it interesting, I'll slightly agree and I'll slightly not agree. I think what it does, though, is that it makes the two or three people that had long 5 day plus reigns dominating favorites. And I also think, like, for someone, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but the guy that pretty much tried to true daily double all of his daily double bets.
Yeah, just from a couple of weeks back, yeah.
Yeah, it makes him a lot more dangerous if you look at the competition. But I also think what makes him more interesting is that they all have flaws and holes in their game, which makes the two or three favorites more favorites. You can even argue that it's much less wide open because you only have two or three people that are up to that sort of Jeopardy caliber champion that we're used to seeing.
Point taken.
Yes.
And I think the guy you're talking about is Philip Chu, who is on the bottom of this.
Yeah.
He only had three games and 96,000. Yet the one who, you know, just basically was the scorched earth policy was not, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but again, 3-1's 96,000. Jay, I think he's on the board, is he not?
He is on the board. He's on the bottom.
Yeah. So
he's on the board.
He's a Canadian. If he does, he's dangerous.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, we'll see. I mean, again,
we've got a whole lot of games to play until the next tournament. I mean, for all Philip Tu does in those three games, they may not mean much if he doesn't make the tournament. Simple as that.
And the thing is, right now, remember, we have, I think, most of season 32's shows have been taped, I am guessing, outside of the ones they are taping this week right now in Washington this upcoming weekend. Because usually when they go on a road trip this late, it's usually the last shows of the year.
But isn't Power Players airing later this month?
That's what I'm just saying, May. But what I'm saying, you got Power Players and I think a teacher's tournament as well and some sort of other – and a sort of a finals of something else. And because we all know Jeopardy goes to mid-July and
right.
Then runs six weeks of tournament and then goes right back to, right back into season 33 in early September.
Right. Actually, it's more like
mid-September. The other thing, I'm sorry, Jay.
It was Chico. Go ahead.
It was more like Chico. Mid-September for a while. So it goes like at end of July, early August.
The other thing to remember is that we also haven't seen the contestants in June yet. Keep in mind that June is always that sort of post-week time where you put, I don't want to say lesser contestants, but when you put some of the weaker contestants on. And if you have a strong contestant in the whole bunch of weak contestants, that person can make a run. See Jennings come again. See Madden come and David. See some of these monsters that have come out of the summer months. So there's still a lot of, a lot of book left to write here.
That's what I've been saying. There's, like, a lot of games left to play before this Tournament of Champions. So let's not count chickens yet, but the chickens we have been counting have been pretty high up in the hen house, if you ask me.
Okay. And, what if those are chickens that have been on an island?
They've been pretty high in the hen house themselves, but not exactly.
They've been high in infirmaries as of late, actually. Really.
Let us recap on Survivor Kangaroo. Neil was pulled from the game last week due to a gross knee infection.
Gruesome.
Yeah. So we had a reward challenge where the prize was an ice cream bar. Not an ice cream, you know, like a not a bar, not one.
It's,
you know,
sort of like a makeshift Shoney's, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And two teams of five had to take one team member pole by pole across a water gap, and then have all five team members stand on a platform, then swim to another platform, and stand on there for 3 seconds. I believe it was Scott, Jason, Julia, Ty, and somebody else. Nick.
Debbie, Julia, Nick, Scott, and Ty, they won.
Yes, they won. They got the ice cream. Okay. And in the immunity challenge, which was quite interesting, you had to stand, and I believe this was another return of an old favorite. You had to stand on a very narrow ledge with your hands behind you, holding yourself up, and the last person standing was going to win. And so early on in the challenge, when people were starting to feel pain, Jeff was a total dick. And I mean that in his beautiful way. Okay. He said, hey guys, you want some food? You want some hot dogs? You want some pizza? You want some drinks?
Chicken. I got hot dogs. I've got drinks. I've got pizza. I've got brownies. You have 10 seconds. Jason, Scott, Joe, and Michelle, they've had enough. They're ready to go.
Which would be okay. So then it came down to Ty and Sydney. Sydney looked like she was going to win, and then she didn't. What happened? Yeah, she just basically dropped out of nowhere. Ty wins individual immunity. Now, the rumored plan was to split the vote so that Aubrey and Debbie would go out.
Right.
However, that didn't happen, did it, Chico?
No, it didn't. It's time for Tribal. First of all, Nick and Michelle, it's their first time at Tribal Council, believe it or not. How long has that happened?
Yep.
Anywho. Okay, it was between Aubrey and Debbie, they say. Debbie tells Jeff, regardless of everything, she still has hope. And Ty reveals that there may be a super idol, and some of the tribe mates are surprised they didn't know about it.
Exactly.
So the vote goes Aubrey, and then Debbie, and then there's Nick, Aubrey, Jason, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
In the first real blind side of the season, actually.
Yeah, I have the votes for Nick right here. It was Aubrey, Sydney, Debbie, Joe, Julia, and Michelle.
So, repeat who it was?
It was Aubrey.
Brains.
Sydney.
Brawn.
Debbie.
Brains.
Joe. Brains.
Okay.
Julia, Beauty. And Michelle, Beauty. So, a little mixed bag, so to speak.
Yes, and Nick was a Beauty, or was he Brawn? He was Beauty, right?
Nick was Beauty.
Yeah, so they took out one of their own. Interesting. Now, why do you think Nick left? I'm just asking, because he spoke his mouth off too much?
I think he was targeted. I honestly think he was targeted.
If you guys actually paid attention to what I said last week, you would know why he got voted out.
Okay, Chico. Okay.
All right, Gordon, what do you have?
First of all, would either of you like to say something to me right now?
Not suitable for broadcast. Continue.
No. Actually, go ahead. No.
Okay, number one.
What do you got?
Aubrey wasn't going anywhere.
Gordon was right. Aubrey wasn't going anywhere. There.
Thank you. And the reason why is that at this point, once you have the merge, you try to get rid of strength. Nick is a threat, maybe not to win the whole thing, but he's a threat to go very, very far and possibly win the whole thing. He's Beauty, but he's a big, strong dude. He can rack up immunity challenges, and he can be a real big threat to get out of there. Plus, again, Aubrey has been successfully using the Sandra DS Twine methodology of anyone except me. Hey, there's a new target up there. Sure, I'll vote for him. It's not me.
Yep.
That's why Nick left. And now all of a sudden, Aubrey's got a very new lease on life because now there's a whole bunch of targets they can go after. Especially if the women decide to band up, and it looks like they may be doing that.
It looks like they have been. Remember, there are five women, and they teamed up with Joe to get rid of Nick.
That means we have five women and four guys left, I believe?
I believe so. We have Aubrey, Sydney, Debbie, Jason, Joe, Julia, Michelle, Scott, and Ty. So, that would be 1, 2, 3, 4 men against 5 women. It would not be outside of the realm of imagination that the 5 women decide, hey, let's team up.
Nope. Could be. I mean, it could be because in the preview of next week's episode, supposedly the men are going to do something really stupid.
What? Tell me where I've heard that one before.
Yeah, well, they're going to do something stupid, like maybe steal their equipment or some such. Oh, boy. Not smart.
No, it is not.
But you want to know something? We need a little trip to Armenia, if I may.
All right, on ahead.
Yeah, because
we've been waiting a good week for this.
Actually, we've been waiting a good couple of weeks because basketball was on. Hi, Chico. Anyway, we are back on The Amazing Race, and the teams leave Chamonix, France, and go to Armenia. And they go to Yerevan, and they get to the Yerevan Opera Theater to witness a performance of Aram Khachaturian's, yes, I didn't know who this was, The Saber Dance. It's one of the most famous pieces of classical music. And they were looking for the next clue inside the theater. Just as so happens, it wasn't under any of the seats. It wasn't on any of the stages. It wasn't in any of the curtains. You know where it was? The janitor. the guy who was vacuuming. He had the next clue. Okay? Then I would have needed my Fitbit for this one, because then the next clue, you had to go by foot to the Yerevan Cascade and climb all 500 steps to find the clue box containing the detour clue, thread or bread. Thread means you had to go to the Megarian carpet factory, where you had to do a row of two hundred proper stitches on the Armenian carpet. The other choice was bread. They had to go to Parvana Bakery, where they had to roll out dough and bake 15 traditional bread called lavash on a tonnier. Now, tonnier, basically, if you've ever, and Chico, how many times have we seen this on cooking shows? You know, Arabic or Indian non-bread. Yeah. Same idea. Same idea, right? Okay.
Right.
So what happens is then they had to go to the Republic Square and choose a bus 13 to the town of Hatasvan. Then they went to when they got off at the shadow of Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark may be. What happens is that they had to do a roadblock, which was a very simple yet deceiving one. Change oil on a lot of 2107 taxi along and drain the oil, change the filter, and make sure that the oil is fixed, and then go to the pit stop, which is the Temple of Garni. Okay.
So just to review, we were making bread. Yes. Stitching carpets and getting an oil change.
Yes.
So we're basically running errands for an hour.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then it ends with about as much tedium as something like that could possibly end. A non-elimination leg.
No. This is not a non-elimination leg. This was a continuation leg.
I see.
Because there is a difference.
To be
continued. It was because everyone was on, and you know, everyone was there, and the last team to arrive was Sherry and Cole. They thought they were out, but they're not, because Phil said, "Keep on racing. Here's your next clue." Of course, they never showed that on every other people, and Brody and Kurt who won. And what happens is that they won the express pass, which came back in this leg, by the way. The express class pass can only be used by one person and by leg number 9, which is 3 legs from now.
So they have 3 legs to use that.
Correct, the express pass. It's very interesting that Tyler and Corey went from 1st to 6th. Very interesting drop. That was the biggest drop this past week. We will see who actually leaves this Friday. So
there had to have been an equalizer point somewhere. That's the only explanation I can think of for such a massive drop.
What happened was is that Tyler and Corey didn't realize that the janitor was the person with the clue until late at that point in the
okay.
theater. That's
okay,
what
I see that.
Now, last Friday, Chico, was April Fool's Day.
Yep.
And a lot of game show, well, three game shows that I could think of did stuff.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune decided to, well, actually, they replayed Pat Sajak losing his hair.
No.
No, they did?
They did a fake contest where you could spend 30 days on a Mayflower pilgrim ship. It was the Live Like a Pilgrim contest.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah. It was cute. Jeopardy put in 10 visual mistakes, which were okay.
Yeah, they ranged from an audio miscue on a Daily Double, a Daily Double graphic reversed. They spliced in some old footage from previous episodes. More notably, the one where Alex comes out and he's not wearing any pants.
Yes.
Pants are overrated, by the way. Just saying.
And don't forget, during the Daily Double, they put in Wheel of Fortune sounds.
We just set the audio miscue.
Yes. No, it was actually in Final Jeopardy when the guy missed. He got the bankrupt sound, but yes. Right. And yes, there was also another audio. That was cute.
It was cute. It didn't really hamper anything. And I don't know about you guys, but I liked it when they showed the foreign version of Jeopardy for, like, the first 5 seconds of Final Jeopardy.
Yes, that was very cool. That was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had the two big ones, both done by Mr. Mike Richards. Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right. Do you want to go with the good and the could have been better? What do you want to go with?
There was actually another one that I thought that was better than both of them. But we get to that later.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's start with the good. Good was The Price is Right. What has happened was they did a bunch of miscues, which is not something new that they've done. I mean, they've done miscue April Fool's gags before, and it always seemed to be pulled off without a hitch. But probably learning from last year's Drewpalooza, which, if you ask me, was probably one of the worst done April Fool's jokes in the history of everything ever. What they did was they went back and they purposefully, either on stage or in post, they purposefully inserted about 30 to 40 mistakes within the course of the hour.
Oh, it was more than that, as Jason and I can attest.
Yes, it is actually way more than that. According to my count, if I can find my
it's closer to 60.
Yes. And the thing is that they're actually doing a contest, and since it probably won't be they were closer to 60. If I get it right. Because what happens is that if you have the most or get drawn with the most, you are going to win a 10-day caravan tour of Costa Rica. Okay. And there were some really cool ones, and there were some stuff that I didn't notice. Gordon, you noticed one. My dad noticed a couple of them too that I missed, actually.
It's something that actually throws a bone to the loyal friends and true of the show, really, when you get right down to it, because there are certain mistakes only loyal friends and true of the show would get.
For example, the colors on the contestants' podium in contestants' row were in a different order on the April Fool's episode than they usually are.
Correct.
And small things like that.
And also, one that my father caught, which was, where was it here? Oh, one time Drew told the price of a prize without getting the card out. He just told it. He just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was one that was really good that you caught, where the license plate for the winner of Money Game said person instead of winner. That was great.
That is doofus, and I love it.
okay? And this is also an homage to something Drew Carey did a couple of times with ABC.
With his sitcom, The Drew Carey Show.
Show. And he gave away, if I remember right, once $250,000 once for it.
That's a lot more than $80,000.
Yeah, exactly. But I think my favorite one, I don't know what my specific favorite one was, but the fact that there was just so many good stuff. Like,
yeah, I got one for you. You want to know what my favorite one was?
What?
They played cliffhangers, but they didn't call it cliffhangers. They called it the Yodeling Guy.
Yay!
Yes. And by the way, one that really people didn't notice, or at least I hope people didn't notice, that the dollar wheel had a dot at the decimal point.
Yes.
Yep.
That was, you know, you have to really look. Okay.
You have to be a loyal friend.
And you also had to listen to Drew Carey, everything that he said, because everything he said wasn't the correct one. Okay.
And here's why this came off as one of the better recent April Fool's shows. Because this stuff goes on, and it doesn't impact the gameplay.
Right.
It didn't impact the gameplay, but I think Jason really nailed it on the head. This was an April Fool's homage to people who are the loyal Price is Right fans, loyal, tried and true. And you'll get someone, the winner's going to be someone that is a huge fan of The Price is Right, because those people will catch the little stuff that the normal civilians would not have caught.
That's right. And I believe Jim was the one who actually pointed that out, not me.
Gordon doesn't want to give me credit for anything.
No, that's not true. Okay. No. It's okay. But the thing is, you're absolutely right. And the thing is that there was what also was kind of like also goofy stuff, like showing Let's Make a Deal on the laptop. When they say, you know, watch your favorite episodes of The Price is Right, and they show Wayne Brady on there. Touches like that. You know, really good stuff. And I believe on April 7th or April 8th, they are going to show the winner the video of all the mistakes. And I hope I got most of them. I put it to you this way. We sort of tag-team the effort here. But put it to you this way, incredibly, very well executed and, you know, well done, and kudos to The Price is Right.
Let's just say, Jason, if you're able to win it, you know, just throw me a few airline miles so I can go to Vegas in August, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I mean, it's one of those things, and they actually encourage you to go Zapruder on it, back and to the left.
Back to the left and rewatch
the show. It's really it's a win-win for the show because you're getting more people to watch on DVRs and more people to watch on the website. Nudge, nudge.
CBS.com, CBS app.
Yes. Now
CBS All Access, CBS.
Now Let's Make a Deal had a good idea, but didn't go all the way with it.
Yeah.
Well, they did in some areas, you know. I saw the episode again after watching the first time going, well, wait a second, was that it? And then on the second one, I was just sort of like, aha, okay, got it. Let's Make a Deal was definitely much more subtle and much more cerebral than The Price is Right. They were definitely not as much over the top as The Price is Right was. But the episode itself wasn't bad. The only quibble that I had with it is that I think in certain aspects they didn't go far enough in terms of some of the April Fool's stuff, but I actually thought it was a solid episode.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't solid. I'm just saying that if you're going to execute the idea, and by the way, like some of the pictures of the monitors and stuff were cool. I understand that. But I mean, it's like it would have been nice to see what I would love to have seen, because for those who don't know, Tiffany Coyne did a couple of deals in the beginning, and then Wayne Brady took over for most of the rest of the show. What I would have loved to have seen is maybe Cat Gray do a couple of deals. Or,
well, you know, the interesting thing was, and I think it's one of the reasons why, upon looking at it again, I sort of changed my tune on it, and I was just like, oh, okay. When you see some of the subtleties that Cat Gray did, like, for argument's sake, when Wayne in the third act said he wants to make a deal, and we had the funeral dirge music playing in the background.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. And also
in the second act, when they said, who wants to make a deal? And no one, no music, everyone just raised their hands. That was funny. That,
so, hey, this, we're going to be all proper for an act. Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't think the problem, I don't think the problem was necessarily that they didn't do as much. I thought their stuff was a lot more subtle than The Price is Right. But I think if you put it as a standalone, I thought it was a good episode. I thought I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was good. The one thing I would have liked to have seen, I guess, again, my only quibble is, and I'll agree with Jay, you could have had Cat Cora or Magnum or producer or somebody extend the joke
Cat
out.
Gray.
Cat Cora is a chef. Yeah, because again, you had Tiffany do the first act, you had Tiffany do the second act, and then and what I loved about this a lot was that you can slowly but surely see Wayne, Brady, Steve, or at least playing the continuation scene. I would have loved to have seen that throughout the whole entire show.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but because to me, I would have just liked for them to, you know, stick with the joke, if you understand what I mean. You know that, you know how sometimes...
Oh, yeah, but you know what, though? And here's something, again, as someone that's been a scholar, Let's Make a Deal. Let's Make a Deal is done, and again, this is not the Monty Hall version, this is the Wayne Brady version. The Wayne Brady version, Let's Make a Deal, really doesn't do any continuity in terms of from one act to another. Each act is a separate domain. Like, the one thing that we've never seen on Let's Make a Deal, which I want to see on Let's Make a Deal, is, you know, like Monty's slacks or Monty's candy where they put it throughout the whole entire episode? You know, Let's Make a Deal's never done that. And I would really love to see him do that.
And so, especially if you drag it out for a full hour, I think it adds a little more drama than just, you know, the normal half hour. Yeah.
Oh, I think it adds a lot more drama. But Let's Make a Deal doesn't do that. Which is why I would think it actually wouldn't be in Let's Make a Deal character if they continued it throughout the whole hour. So that's one of my things that's just like, oh, well, okay, fine. I understand why they didn't do it this way.
Gordon, you had said when before we even talked about Price, there was a show that did a better April Fool's bit.
Yeah.
Please elaborate.
And it's a game show that we really don't follow as much because it doesn't really feature... I mean, it does feature things, but contestants are not civilians. They are sports writers, but in this case, their April Fool's episode was fantastic.
Oh, are you talking about going around? The Horde! Yeah!
All right, Tony.
I was actually being disemboweled voice.
And you had Woody Page, Frank Izzola, Pablo Astore, and Jackie McMullen all as candidates campaigning for FaceTime. And it was such a fun episode. And I'm sure it is somewhere on the internet. And if you have a chance, you must go see it. I would also recommend Let's Make a Deal, and I would recommend The Price is Right. Those three shows, go get those episodes watching. They're all very good in their own right.
Indeed. Also pretty good in its own right. If I can grab the run sheet, which I should have been looking at.
We're talking buying and selling. Buying and selling game shows at the French World Television Convention, which we talk about every year, called MIPTV. Now, what this used to be, well, in other words, before a lot of stuff, NATP, which is the National Association of Television Programmers and Executives, yes, I do remember this, was the big place where you sold American shows to the syndication.
Now it seems like it's going the other way because big foreign game shows are going to market themselves and other countries, including ours, they're picking them up. For example, did you know that there is a version of Your Back of the Room coming to the U.S.
I did not know that.
You did not know that? Well,
okay, go ahead.
But among the big offerings, of course, Boom.
Okay.
That's going to Italy. Let's go to Italy. Let's see. This is a really good one. 1,000 Heartbeats, which I'm waiting for somebody in the U.S. to pick up. I mean, come on. It's...
Yeah, really.
No, they're not going to pick it up because they saw it up on the chair.
Okay, well, anywho, apparently TV5 in the Philippines cares because they're picking it up. Couples.
Maybe they'll have John McEnroe host it.
No, that's the chair. You're thinking of the chair.
But 1,000 Heartbeats is just like the chair.
Well, that's true. Only you're being timed.
Yeah, well, whoopee. Big yep. difference.
Anywho,
where's the orchestra?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, MGM, which read Mark Burnett, is selling The Apprentice, The Celebrity Apprentice, and America's Greatest Makers, which we will review in full on a future episode, so stay tuned for that.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. Also selling Coupled, which is 12 single women looking for love on a Caribbean island where they have to text other participants their conversations.
OMG.
Yeah. Another show that's coming to our screens this summer is Hunted, thanks CBS. That's going to Russia.
Do svidaniya.
Yeah. TF1 has commissioned the pilot for On Fire. And what this show instills is that contestants are competing for cash, but the money they don't win gets burned in front of them. Yeah, that's...
Capitalism! Oh, wait.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. It's all props, folks.
Eh, still.
All right. After having its last broadcast in 2011, the UK is picking up Train of Thought, which was known by the title Copycats then, from Nippon TV in Japan. And one of your favorites, Gordon, Trade Up, is going to China. Bet you can't wait.
I actually do like that show. I think it's a very clever concept. Even though in Israel, the original format, it's called Upgrade.
Yep. And, There'll be more as the little confab goes on, but those are the big ones for this week.
Game shows pimping all over the world. I love it.
Mm-hmm. But again, we have to
as
end...
commonplace this year. Seems like.
Yeah, we got to talk about somebody. This one specifically, he is one of the half of an old British comedy team called the Two Ronnies. His name is Ronnie Corbett. But he did a couple of games. How many game shows did he do? Like one or two?
His big one was Small Talk.
Okay. But for those in the game show world, he did an incredible clip parodying a show called Mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what he did was, in the sketch, his subject was answering the last question. It's simple, right?
Well, we have the clip. You're going to hear both Ronnies. Ronnie Barker, he's going to play the part of the host, Magnus Magnusson. Yes, that's his real name. And Ronnie Corbett is going to play the role of the contestant. This clip comes courtesy of the BBC. Please do enjoy.
And so to our first contender. Good evening. Your name, please.
Good evening.
Your first heat, your chosen subject was answering questions before they were asked. This time, you have chosen to answer the question before last each time. Is that correct?
Charlie Smithers.
And your time starts now. What is paleontology?
Yes, absolutely correct.
What's the name of the directory that lists members of the peerage?
A study of old fossils.
Correct. Who are Len Murray and Sir Geoffrey Howe?
Burks.
Correct. What is the difference between a donkey and an ass?
One's a trade union leader, the other's a member of the cabinet.
Complete the quotation, to be or not to be?
They're both the same.
What is Bernard Manning famous for?
That is the question.
Correct. Who is the present Archbishop of Canterbury?
He is a fat man who tells blue jokes.
Correct. What do people kneel on in church?
The Right Reverend Robert Runcie.
Correct. What do tarantulas prey on?
Hassocks.
Correct. What would you use a ripcord to pull open?
Large flies.
Correct. What sort of a person lived in Bedlam?
A parachute.
Correct. What is a jockstrap?
A nutcase.
For what purpose would a decorator use methylene chlorides?
A form of athletic support.
Correct. What did Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec do?
Paint strippers.
Correct. Who is Dean Martin?
He's a kind of artist.
Yes. What sort of artist?
Pass.
That's near enough. What make of vehicle is the standard London bus?
A Singer.
Correct. In 1892, Brandon Thomas wrote a famous long-running English farce. What was it?
British Leyland.
Correct. Complete the following quotation. I started, so I'll finish. Complete the following quotation about Mrs. Thatcher. Her heart may be in the right place, but her...
Charlie's aunt.
Correct. And the story of the Bell.
Oh, that's fun.
Excuse me. The brilliance of the wordplay was outstanding in that.
In addition, when it comes to game shows, he appeared on many, including the legendary show The Golden Shot, Would I Lie to You, Full Swing, Have I Got News for You, among others.
So yeah, basically, how can we possibly say more about this except... And somebody has to come in as soon as I'm done with the line, with the following line. You know this line, all right? And it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Moment, please, for Ronnie Corbett. Thank you. And on that note, on that somber note, it's time to take a break. Still to come on the big show, we have our favorite episode of RuPaul's Drag Race ever, and this season. But first, it's all the news we think you should know in Brain Vision. He's Jason, he's Jim, that's Gordon, I'm Chico, stick and stay with Spectrum One, your home. For WLTI. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 April Fool's pranks that we would like to prank on the New York Mets.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Yeah. Vic, WD-40 in the gloves of Noah Syndergaard.
How about a
two sizes too small uniform for Jacob deGrom?
Why not some of the old-fashioned pranks? The old hot foot, bubble gum on the hat, that kind of good stuff.
Or, you know, we could bring back the fake glasses and mustache look, since it looked so good for Bobby Valentine.
Very good. Very good.
Okay, time for a break. We'll see you soon.
This episode of WLTI has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. the flavor today, Philadelphia cheesesteak. When you absolutely need your Tar Heels done in the very last second. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey's done right.
I saw that coming.
That's why you wore the crash helmet.
That's why I wore the crash helmet.
And that's why I saw that last second shot coming. And it's good!
By the way...
Victory! All right.
take the City 6 and go bugger off.
Hey! Palestra greater than Chapel Hill, anyway.
Wow! Excuse me.
Oh, man, we're about to fight. I'm sorry.
No. It's even worse. Gordon dressed the animals in Villanova gear.
No, he didn't.
Well, it could be worse. At least Eve isn't wearing the I Heart Coach K shirt.
Well, she's not anymore.
I Heart Radio shirt, for that matter.
Chico.
Yeah.
I printed out the picture of Steve Harvey saying North Carolina will be champion 2016, and I put it on her back.
Oh, jeez.
Then he saw the last shot, and his eyes bugged out. Sorry, player.
Somebody save me from this torture.
Oh, I know how. Get Gordon? The chopper ready.
I got it.
All right, I'll be nice. Maybe. Nice is a city of France. Anyway, we shall continue the show when I say roll that beautiful grain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. Remember, if you want to hear more Doug Morris, you can log on to his website, dougmorris.net. You can also catch him on Southern Mississippi's number one for rock on Sundays, Rock Tracks on WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial.
Celebrating 20 years in that role, thank you very much.
20 years and counting. Bum.
Yes.
Anyway, it is spring. It is no longer spring training. It is now the regular season of baseball. So, Mr. Alexander, what sort of bat would you like?
What sort of bat I would like? I would like a bat with 15 buttons!
Oh!
You didn't see that one come and play?
No, I didn't play it.
We were talking about Steve Harvey, man. Steve Harvey's getting ready to do some business with Mark Burnett, man. Alright, so here's the story. Before I get us kicked off the air again. Mark Burnett and Steve Harvey, they're teaming up for a new business competition at ABC. They greenlit 13 episodes, but have not given it the title. But here's the pitch. Rival entrepreneurs competitively pitch their ideas head-to-head in front of a live studio audience. The audience then votes on which entrepreneur will receive funding for his or her idea. Harvey will serve as host. He will become the and I'm quoting from the presser here, funder of dreams, as he brings his personal business experience and encouragement. Now, aside from being an Emmy Award-winning host and comedian and all-around nice guy, Steve Harvey does have a business acumen about him.
No doubt.
He is an entrepreneur, if you will.
His portfolio is very diversified between acting, hosting, television and radio, suits. Help me out here. There's more.
I'm sure there's more, but we've got only so much time. But
Steve Harvey's taking over the world, player.
He is. He's one of the bigs on television right now. He's like Oprah, only balder and with a better mustache.
Oh, jeez.
Somewhere in New York, Oprah's best friend has to disagree with you.
I'm not even going there. Anywho.
I'm not touching that one either.
The best friend or the mustache? Thank you.
But let's talk about our date book, shall we?
Oh, why not? We've got a full date book, man. I almost had to get 3 pages.
Cody got the date book.
Okay. Well, let's start with tomorrow, shall we? Tomorrow, Gordon, you've been there since the beginning. Now you get to be there for the end. It is the series finale of American Idol.
Or in other words, when we put the bullet in Old Yeller's brain. Okay.
Yeah.
Leave the memories alone forever.
Leave it pretty. End it. Hey, you get 30 million viewers in year 5 and year 6. There is only one way to go, all right?
Dizzity, dizzity, dizzity down.
Okay, Gordon, what else do we have?
We have lots of shows. We have, I don't want to say penultimate shows yet. Idol's actually the only one that's penultimate. So we're hearing a lot of stuff from different networks, shall we say, about the new shows coming up, but there's no debuts.
If you concentrate real hard, I will give you a list here, all right? Okay, you got Spring Baking Championship on Food Network on Sunday.
And I think I might be down for a spring breaking championship instead.
Yeah, exactly. Chug, chug, chug,
yeah, chug. Jason knows how it does.
Yes, it does. Yes, I do.
Cupcake Wars on Food Network Monday. The Voice goes into playoff mode.
Playoff?
Day for Play Game Show starts on Logo, and Celebrity Name Game returns to round out season 2.
Hey, Cheeky Monkeys.
On Tuesday is the season premiere of actually a pretty decent show, Idiot Test.
Also Tuesday, for the heck of it, Yodely Guy turns 40 on The Price is Right. Yay!
Woohoo! And Wednesday...
Hello, let's make every game on The Price is Right cliffhangers.
No thanks.
Wrong!
Nope, they're not doing that, thanks.
That went so well for Plinko, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Sarcasm, yes.
And finally, Wednesday is the season finale of Face Off. Plus, NBC gets in the business of upping itself with the series debut of Strong.
Produced by Sylvester Stallone, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for Biggest Losers. They're looking for...
Idiot!
What are they looking for? They're looking for... Fittest losers? Fittest? I don't know.
They're gonna take you from Mr. Puniverse to Mr. Universe. I don't
know. Something to that effect. I actually have a little bit of reality show casting news.
All right.
Well, I don't know where that would go necessarily.
Well, if I gave you a sixer of sauce, could you get it loaded?
Yeah, I could, actually. What happens is that we are having our second female Ultimate Fighter just announced this evening, about an hour and a half ago. Okay? Light heavyweights and strawweight women are going to take center stage in season 23, and it's going to be Joanna Jedrzejczyk versus Claudia Gadetha, okay? And they are going to coach... up-and-comers. It debuts 2 weeks from tonight, as we speak, and 32 competitors are going to battle on the first spot on the show, 16 strawweights and 16 heavyweights. I could give you the names, but there's a lot of names here, but yes. And what happens is that the finale is going to take place during July 8th, during International Fight Week, alongside UFC 200, and the coaches are going to battle in the finale on July 8th in the main event. So, there's that. So, again, pretty, you know, good also to see the women back on the UFC. So, there you go.
It is good. It's very good. That's a really smart idea to feature women, the rising audience that they are.
Looking for the next Misha Tate or the next Ronda Rousey. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, let's look for the next moron in the news. Shall we, Gordon?
Sure. Well, it's funny that you said Misha.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Well, we will get to Misha later. Right now, I've certainly got some silliness right now, actually.
Okay.
Very silly.
Very silly indeed. Get on with it.
I've got a couple, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do that one. Yeah, screw it. Let's do this one. Are you smarter than Misha Barton?
I see what you did there.
Is it time for 15 seconds of dancing?
It's time for a quick 15 seconds of dancing. But let's start about that. Now, first of all, who actually watched Dancing with the Stars?
My boy left, so I'm anti-Geraldo now.
Okay.
All right, so we will start with Misha Barton giving what, shall we say, was considered one of the most pathetically worst dances in any of the seasons of Dancing with the Stars.
How pathetic was it?
It wasn't as bad as Geraldo, even though it's not saying much there.
Mm.
Her 3 weeks on the show, 16, 15, and 18.
Eww, wow.
Not very good. And then, to top it all off, a couple of insiders on Dancing with the Stars say, and I quote here, where is it? Misha Barton was, quote-unquote, the most self-entitled and rude celebrity to ever compete on Dancing with the Stars.
That's saying something.
Yes.
Wow. It's really saying...
Not good.
No.
You think?
So, and of course, Misha herself said last week was a catastrophe, and I felt demoralized.
You think?
One might go so far to say that the people behind the scenes at Dancing with the Stars were showering her with haterade.
I think they were showering her with goodbye cards.
That too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. What do you have in the hopper this time?
Oh, I've got plenty for the hopper for haterade, by the way.
Oh yes. Oh,
okay.
Razor, who wants some glasses?
Right here.
I'd like mice with it if I could, please.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see. What do we start? There's so much of it this week.
Oh boy.
Oh dear.
All right, let's start with Kris Jenner because we haven't had any Kardashian news.
Yeah, you're really skewing the fantasy Kardashian league there.
Well, for starters, I will say that one of the Kardashian shows just got canceled by E! Network.
Yes,
it begins.
Excuse me, Cocktails with Khloé just got canceled. If my news is correct, right?
Your news
that
is correct.
Correct. Someone put arsenic in the cocktails.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, just as a quick Kardashian note, for those who have not watched it, the American Crime Story miniseries on FX was outstandingly good. It was really, really good. Mm. And you should check that out. And they really ripped the Kardashians a new a-hole, pretty much.
Yay.
In there, too. So.
Yes, and now it's Kris Jenner that is ripping a new a-hole into Rob Kardashian because she says the Robin Black China's engagement. He is making a poor, life-altering decision.
Pot calling kettle black.
Well, I mean, so, in other words...
After Rob Kardashian spent $325,000 for Black China's engagement ring.
Well,
jeez.
So, wait a minute. She's upset over a Kardashian marrying a rapper, right?
Yes. Now, of course, that we're ignoring the fact that she already has in her family a Kardashian that's married a rapper.
Oh, but he's successful. Rolls eyes.
And married a sort of rapper.
And let's not forget how we got here in the first place. If I may quote the immortal Joel McHale, Kim Kardashian, who is known for having a big ass and a sex tape.
Damn you, Ray J. If I see Ray J, I will do the time and commit the crime because of what he's brought us on television and pop culture. Just saying.
Yeah. Excuse me. He's got a new game show. He's got a new dating show this week.
Oh, yes. No. Yep.
We'll talk more about that on a future episode.
Oh, gosh.
We're sort of... Just one more thing before we move on.
Yes,
according
please.
To Simon Cowell, the American Idol went downhill, not because of him, but when Paula Abdul left. And Paula Abdul and myself were the late of American Idol. The show went downhill without us.
Aw, he shares credit. Isn't that cute? But he's right.
He shared it. He take all of it.
Well, yeah.
He's not wrong, though.
Agreed.
Nope.
He's not wrong, because the Simon and Paula thing was the best, was one of the better things, because Simon was brutally honest and Paula was trying to save everything. It was okay dysfunctional, not negative dysfunctional.
It was a more organic chemistry than we have with everybody playing nice on the judging panel now.
Yep.
Well, I think Pretty that much. Everybody should be playing nice as we send them all on vacation. Chico, where are they going?
They're going to the capital of the free world, Washington, D.C. I know this is a bit of a cheat, but in going global, we are staying domestic. Because we've got power players. Power players on Jeopardy, and they are going to line up and see who among them is the smartest of the DC heavy hitters. Would you like to know who's playing?
Sure.
Okay. Give me a moment here. I've got the listing. And
all right, yeah, give me some notable names here. Yeah.
I'll give you some. Okay, we have Kate Baldwin from CNN, mm-hmm. product of ABC 11, who is assistant.
WTVD, there you go. Booyah.
Okay. Louis C.K.,
oh, that could be fun.
Oh, yeah. Washington Post columnist Jonathan Capehart. Mm-hmm. Anderson Cooper.
Oh, he's winning. That's it.
Conservative commentator S.E. Cupp.
Oh, shucky ducky.
Mm-hmm.
The first sitting lawmaker to play Jeopardy. And that would be no stranger to the program, Al Franken.
Yeah.
Best-selling author Jonathan Franzen, political analyst David Gregory, professor and ousted TV host MSNBC, Melissa Harris-Perry.
Oh, that ought to be awkward. By the way, David Gregory now with CNN, as I understand.
ABC News senior legal correspondent Sonny Hostin. 60 Minutes... correspondent Laura Logan.
Oh, Laura Logan. Interesting. Because she hasn't been in the public eye much since her questionable reporting, let's put it that way.
Yeah. A Republican strategist, Anna Navarro. Mm-hmm. A politician and an MSNBC political analyst, Michael Steele. Mm-hmm. NBC News political director and moderator for Meet the Press, Chuck Todd.
Oh, I'm sure so happy to be anywhere. That's my Chuck Todd impression.
And executive producer and creator of Mad Men, Matthew Weiner. They're really working to strike a balance between conservatives and liberals, lefties and righties, the people known in D.C. and the people known elsewhere. Seems like it's going to be a very interesting little matchup we've got here.
Jason, would you call it fair and balanced?
Yeah, I would, but actually, and this, you know, I'm going against, this is actually one of my least favorite weeks,
really?
Actually. Yeah, it is, because I hate, because I understand the concept, yes, they're playing for charity, and yes, they have to dumb down the questions a little bit, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
So it feels... it doesn't feel organic to me. And yes, I understand, because remember when you had that $1 million celebrity tournament, those were legit questions and legit answers and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you're playing for $1 million for charity. Yeah, this one actually just, it leaves me a little cold.
We can't have Bob Costas, you know, running the board every day. That's all I can say.
I understand. That's true.
We can't have Regis wondering if it's signaling.
I don't know if it's working. Where's Gelman on here?
Mm-hmm. But do the hoes feel organic?
They never feel organic.
That's pain. Well, what,
who you got?
Prove me wrong.
All right. In this week's Media Ho report, Allison Hannigan is going to be hosting season 3 of Penn and Teller Fool Us. That you did not mention.
Well, it wasn't from MIP. It was just the network renewal.
I guess she didn't mention that at Bandcamp that she would be doing that. Okay.
All right, moving on. Ellen DeGeneres' Kids Dance Challenge will be launching on EllenTube.
And you know who's hosting that? Twitch Boss and Allison Holker.
Yep.
Or M. Either or the other.
Yeah.
So Billy Eichner signs with United Talent Agency. Hey, Val, is going to get a statue. Simon Cowell, of course, takes shots at The Voice because, well, why the hell not? And finally, in your Bachelor news, because we have to have Bachelor news. Yeah. Don't wait. I'm waiting for an answer from Chico.
Yay.
Okay, then. The Bachelor couple Ben Higgins and Lauren Bushnell sign up for cooking class together.
The couple that cooks together cooks together.
But none of them is your hoe of the week.
Who's the conductor of this week's Media Ho train?
Your hoes of the week are all the celebrities that will supposedly be on American Idol. As we say goodbye, and as Fox uses that as the latest media ho entertainment vehicle that we can have, because, gee, we need to pump up these ratings that are sagging worse than Martha Ray's breasts.
Oh, good God. Wow.
If I could make an honorable mention here, Tay Diggs.
You're getting pushed off, and then you can maintain an honorable mention.
Okay.
Your guests of less than honorable include Brian Dunkelman and William Hung. Yeehaw!
Dunkelman gets a paycheck. Dunkelman gets a paycheck. Something he hasn't seen in decades.
So, Chico, who is your dishonorable mention?
Tay Diggs. You know, you remember, you've seen Tay Diggs, right?
Ladies love him.
The ladies? He's the guy on that thing.
Anyway.
Well, he is...
Ex-husband of Idina Menzel.
Oh, Adele Dazeems.
Yes.
Well, he let it go to Fox because he's going to be the host of Your Back of the Room.
Continuity from segment.
But I don't want to be in the room.
It's like the only room you want to be in involves Tommy Wiseau. I know.
And those,
oh, hi, doggy.
And those yes. are your hoes.
Fed up with this segment. End it.
Ending. Shutting it down. What do we got next?
Next, we're going to have a little bit of fun with the Drag Race Snatch Game episode from the past week in a little round of infiltration. But first, here is a break from me. It's Who Wants to Be a Game Show Host? Nobody ever wakes up deciding, hey, I think I want to be a game show host.
I do.
Well, like you said.
Present company excluded, of course. But get 12 celebrities in a room with a pitch of a horrible format and a stack of cash and watch the tempers fly. It's Who Wants to Be a Game Show Host?
Michael Ian Black hosts and also competes.
Oh, yes. And it,
oh, you know
what? Not everybody has what Steve Harvey has. Granted, there are some people who, you gotta have a good host come from somewhere, and there are great actors who are also great game show hosts, Bert Convy being one of them. But for every Bert Convy, you're going to have a Kellan Lutz, I'm afraid.
Ew.
For every Bradley Walsh, you're going to have...
Brad Sherwood.
Thank you. You get what I'm trying to say here, friends?
Indeed. You need more sportscasters like me. Hello, friends. Jim Nantz here. Welcome to the...
Get off my show, Jim Nantz!
Anyway, welcome back to We Love to Interrupt. I'm Gordon Pepper. Jason Block is over there. Chico Alexander's over there. And Jim Williams is in the padded room.
What?
So we were originally going to do some infiltration, but after the Snatch game that we saw, or lack of goodness in the Snatch game.
There was a bad Snatch game?
What?
There was a bad Snatch game? There's never a bad Snatch game.
It was an okay Snatch game.
It sounds like code.
It was all right, dog, as you say.
Dog.
It was
I. And so therefore, instead of the regularly planned infiltration, we're going to be doing Welcome to Hollywood.
Woo-hoo. Okay.
Also, of course, to celebrate the fact that Gordon's going to take the dog out back and say, "No, Ma, let me do it."
Yep.
Click, click, boom.
Actually, if you wanted to talk about dogs in RuPaul's Drag Race Snatch game, and based on the ick that there was, it would be more like me taking Acid Betty out in the back and saying, "No, no, no, this is not how you, this is not how we do a guest." However, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the eight people in the Snatch game, the celebrities, not the drag queens, but the celebrities, and you tell me what game shows you think that they would be good in.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Some of these will be easier than others. And I will start off with the incredibly easy Tiffany Pollard.
Oh, boy.
This is an easy one. Don't stress out on this one. There'll be other ones for you to stress out on.
No, I'm just trying to think because there are so many, actually.
Yeah, it's like, what can't she be on?
I mean, well, okay, well, all right. So, where do you put her?
Let's see. She can always go back to I Love New York because she is New York. You could put her on Celebrity Apprentice so she can hang out with Omarosa.
You could put her on the Bachelor and have her defy social norms.
Or you could there go with three. Go. I got three words. I got three words. Bad Girls Club. Thank you.
Oh, good one! That's a good X. Hey, you win. That's not okay.
All right, next one. Michael Jackson.
So you think you can dance?
So you think you can dance? America's Got Talent.
Dance Moms.
ABDC.
Best Dance Club, right? Very good. Right. Dance Club.
Easy one. Alright, let me give you another one. This was done by Derek Ferry, and of course, if you know I'm saying that name, you know who I'm going to next, and that's Britney Spears.
Of course.
Don't forget the lyrics.
Oh, good! Oh! Nice! Very good one. Of course, The Voice, X Factor, which is not on, but hell.
Well, there's DFTL, but you know. Hey.
You know. Yeah. Of you know, The Voice, any musical superstar competition, America's Got Talent, you know, things like that. Or what would be interesting, she would be great as the Bachelorette. Good God. Nut Girl Britney is the Bachelorette.
They would be fighting hand and foot for her.
Oh, or can you imagine?
Don't get her tires.
Yeah, or you put her on Survivor, she wouldn't last till the first day.
I need my smokes,
no,
y'all.
Survivor, I would take her to the end.
Yeah, you take her to the end. Yes.
Just say, here's your ending speech for Final Tribal Council against Brittany. Do you really want this woman to have another $1 million?
Or actually, it's even simpler than that. You just point at her.
So it's like, people, ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
that.
I just point to her and say, you know she was toxic.
Yes.
All right, next one, Carol Channing.
Yes, but... Oh, you're going down, young man.
The definitive Carol Channing,
let's
you
see.
Said?
Carol yes. Channing.
The definitive answer. Whose line is anyway so we can have a Channing off between her and Ryan Stiles?
Bingo. Yes.
Oh, mark it.
Or she's the new Bachelorette. There you go.
Maybe on Retirement Living TV.
You're going down, young man.
Excuse me, can you imagine her in the fantasy suite? I mean, seriously.
I can't unimagine it.
Vomit in the mask. Anyway, next.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't unsee what you've just seen.
Yes.
Next one, Eartha Kitt.
No, she would be the Bachelorette.
I got it. Yes, but try put her on Project Runway. She would be a great... Wasn't she a model at one point, if I'm
yes.
not mistaken?
Yes, she was.
I believe she was.
I would put her on Project Runway and Project Runway accessories, and I would make her a judge.
I think that's a good call, yeah.
Because she is an incredibly... I mean, even at... What is she, close to 80 now, I think? If I remember right? You know, she... definitely would be one of those people who
very mentor-like, yeah.
Hey, yes. You know what they? Hey, you know what? You know what they say? Black don't crack.
Yeah, hey, she's now. She passed away. She's 80. She was 81.
I was gonna say she is no longer of this earth right now.
Oh. I thought she's still around.
A lot
wow,
of
okay.
people we wish would be no longer on this earth, but we're stuck with her. Nancy Grace.
To tell the truth.
No. You got the moment of truth.
Oh, yes!
Good job!
We want to hear about those real exploits of top moms around the country, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God.
Seriously. Let me go to Vinny Bambino and get the real story.
I'm sorry, Gordon. What did you say?
I would put her there or the Liars Club. I have two more left. I am going to skip Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il or of that sort because I really do not want North Korea mad at us.
Little Kim in the house.
We would not like that. So we're going to skip over the dictator. So we have two more.
Emphasis on dick.
Uzo Aduba.
Good bless you. What was that again?
I know who she is.
Is she from?
She's a character on the show Orange,
Orange is the New Black. Love that.
Oh, that's right. Isn't she crazy? That's right. She's crazy eyes. Not again. Oh, she would be great on Celebrity Apprentice as crazy eyes.
Although, if you ever watch the show, you know, Uzo Aduba's just, you know, she has that well-timed comedic aspect of her character.
How about Last Comic Standing?
Good call.
And, hey, if you do bring back Match Game, please bring back Match Game. Put her on the panel.
That'd be fun.
Yes.
By the way, just to let you know, she was a guest star on Project Runway All Stars. By the way. Just for you to know.
Oh, okay, cool.
I did not know that.
That's cool.
Finally, the last person, Diana Vreeland.
Who?
She's another fashionista. If I remember my
fashion magazine, Harper's Bazaar, and Vogue. And she was a special consultant at the Costume Institute of the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Project Runway. Project Runway.
Excuse me. House of any fashion show, House of DVF, House of Art, Project Runway, Project Runway Junior, the whole nine yards. You know, or more interestingly, put her as an advisor to Celebrity Apprentice,
because or make her the new freaking apprentice and take the scope of the game a little differently. Yeah,
you could do that. I mean, how diverse is her portfolio?
Portfolio.
I would say it's pretty diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, those were all the people that we had in Welcome to Hollywood. I thought that was fun.
I think I actually won a game on this show for once. Yay!
Yeah, I know. I think you did. But I will just say this. It was just one of those things where, you know, it was... you know... Good stuff. Good stuff. My brain just went...
Mine does too.
Yeah. So we're gonna go ahead and put a bow on this and send it off into the mail. But first, here's a word from Post-Apocalyptic American Idol. It's not so much what you sing, but how you wield a machete and a morning star that determines whether you move on to the next round. Enjoy the jokes, folks. Enjoy the moments. Enjoy the fact that this show probably should have been put out of its misery 5 years ago.
I heard Danny Trejo is going to be touching the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, machete. Machete.
Okay, here's your panel. Stanley Tucci and... No, here's your panel. Danny Trejo, Elizabeth Banks in full Effie Trinket gear... And just to round it out, Mel Gibson.
No. You got to put
Danny Glover.
Not Danny Glover. No. Good. No. Hell no. Post-apocalyptic. Oh, dude, there's somebody else. Oh well. But yeah. All right. Fine. Mel Gibson. It is.
You can do a little Harrison Ford Blade Runner action also.
Cool. There you go.
Anyway, because I actually want this show to last under 2 hours this week, Speed Round is going to start now. Survivor, now that we know Audrey is sort of safe, which man's going off the island?
Jason, I think.
I think it's going to be Scott because he's still got the strength aspect.
Hell's Kitchen. Hey, Ariel's still there, and she's actually in a position of strength this week.
So she'll
probably be staying. Who's leaving?
Let me put it to you this way. Chief High Buckety Buck Carl says that we may have an all-black team of all females.
I can see that happening. Jeopardy. So are we continuing wheel of rotating contestants?
Yeah, I mean, the contestants are meh right now. But, you know, always fun to watch. Always good to watch.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Dancing with the Stars. So far, our predictions have been pretty good. Next show.
Bye, Amisha.
No, Amisha already left.
No, gotcha. Who's going to be next to buy Amisha?
Who's going to be next to buy Amisha?
Well, let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Hold on.
Is Marla Maple still competing?
Yeah, I think she is, yes, but, well, you also had, I'm going to go with, Marla's been all right,
Doug Flutie is sort of ruining the curve for NFL players, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's an older quarterback, though, so that's part of it.
Yeah.
I have so a bias
give,
to
give
liking
me,
Flutie, but...
Give me Doug Flutie.
Give me,
take your Flutie flakes and bugger them.
You mean Ginger C still viable in this?
I think so.
Yeah, she is. She got a 23, 21, and 21, so
I'd give her a 30. Yes.
I'll go with Doug Flutie as well. Let's see.
Flutie, sadly, yes.
All right, do we have any email?
No, but hey, shout out to our Twitter followers at Team Show News Net. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Get on Instagram, straight flexing. What? No.
Oh.
I'm white.
Okay. We got a question here from @TheOriginalDonald. Has anyone heard, and this is in response to American Idol ending, of course, has anyone heard from Javier Colon recently? Hashtag The Voice. That is a really good question.
Well, I will look him up. But again, you know, he's not the guy who has made The Voice viable again. It is that other dude, I forget his
name. Jordan Smith, I think it was?
Yep.
That will be Jordan Smith, yes.
Yes, and he is, he's got, let's see.
He has a contract, of course, with Universal Republic. He won in 2011, the inaugural season.
He has supposedly he's got a new album coming out in 2016 called Gravity.
Ah. On Concord Records, interesting.
Yes,
enough.
Yes, I believe he is now, I don't know if Concord is part of Universal at all. No, it's a jazz record.
Yeah,
well, actually, it's under Decca Universal Music Group.
So there you go. He's still under contract with Universal, then.
Yep. And, yeah, so he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But
5 years between albums and almost 4 years between singles. Interesting.
In the meantime, in between time, on that note, that ends this episode. Chico, if people want to send an email, where's it going?
It's going to WLTI at GameShowNewsNet.com. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, and you can follow me at Dino R. Alexander. You can follow Jason at Beat the Block. You can follow Jim at J. Williams on Air. You can follow Gordon at GSNN Haterade. You can follow the network at Spectrum One Net. Speaking of the network, going around for a real quick plug-in, Jason, what do you got for us?
NAWC is going to be back this Friday with its post-WrestleMania recap. We did a live cap of NXT TakeOver. We did a live cap of WrestleMania, which was insane. 7 hours of wrestling. And the post-show Raw. We will talk about all the fallout from there. What was good, NXT. What was not so good, some of WrestleMania.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I said some, okay? Most.
I would say 99%.
Excuse me. New Day insane outfits for the win. Just saying. But all joking aside.
Gordon's booty.
Yeah. But I will
when
say this.
When your best part of WrestleMania is bootios, that's a problem.
Yes,
that
it is.
You're a severe problem with your product.
Yeah, that is true.
That's yeah. We have all those editions of NAWC up. Touch them all. The fifth season premiere, previews, predictions, and more. Also, some news and notes along the way. That's up.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another one because, you know, the season's underway. Red State, Blue State will be back tomorrow night talking about the fallout from Wisconsin. And now this the theater and the thing goes east. We'll talk more about that. New episode of Pixel Nation will be up this week, will be recorded this week, we'll be back after the WrestleMania week off, spec riffs, paper review, and of course, Jim, I think this month we should do a BS Big Show. A
lot of news inside and outside of professional football to talk about. We will do one in the coming weeks.
Including a major fail from Roger Goodell about Twitter.
Just that would be joining Twitter.
Yes, exactly. And you can also hear all the programs on SpectrumOne.net and TuneIn Radio. Off heads for a sec, guys.
All right, Jason. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jason. Gordon, how is life in the UBA?
Well, our team once again won our match. We won it 32-8. That now makes us 8-0. We can one more win and we'll clinch a playoff spot. If we do enough points, we will win the district entirely. And maybe be the number one seed throughout the Northeast. Woo-hoo!
Nice. Good luck.
Good luck with that. And
New Jersey, my friends.
Ooh.
Anything. Hey, like the commercial says, anything can happen in Jersey.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anything is about to happen to us because we're just plumb out of time right now.
Yes.
But next week, we will have a round of Are You In or Are You Out? Because why not? We'll go over the finale of American Idol. We'll see if there's we'll see if there's anything worth celebrating as we celebrate 40th anniversary of the Yodely Guy.
Woohoo!
And we'll see if the women decide to gang together on Hell's Kitchen and Survivor and oust the men. But for now, for Jim Williams, Jason Block, Gordon Pepper, everybody at GSNN, everybody at Spectrum One, my name's Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Until next time, game over, and spread the love. So long,
everybody. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Would you like a ticket to the Villanova Center City Parade, Chico?
Oh, hold me back, Gordon. Hold me
so
back.
So long, everybody.